And we're going to be in the book of John, chapter 21. John chapter 21. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. I'll read the odd verses if you'll join me responsibly on the second one. The even verses, there we go. I'll read the odd verse, you read the even verses. We'll pause at any punctuation. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. John 21, verses 1 through 8. Amen. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's begin. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Let's pray.
Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that it is not just a history book. Lord, some will stand today to teach it as a history book. These are the very words of God. They came from your mouth to man's ear, to man's pen, told us exactly what you wanted us to hear. But not only that, they're living, they're alive. They're as applicable today as the day that they were penned. Lord, I pray that you'd allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts and our lives today, please. Meet the needs that I cannot meet in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to keep your Bibles open. I know that today is Easter or Resurrection Sunday. I don't mind which you call it. Either is appropriate. The word Easter is only mentioned one time in Scripture. In the book of Acts, doesn't matter to me either way. But I hate to disappoint you. I'm not going to preach on the resurrection today. Amen. Say, preacher, it's Easter. Did you know we celebrate Easter 52 weeks a year?
Amen.
That's what Sunday's all about. According to Colossians chapter 2, all the holy days were nailed to the cross. I get a little weary of Baptists calling Easter a holy day.
Yes, sir.
Sounds a little too Catholic to me.
Amen.
We're getting a little too religious for ourselves.
Amen.
You say, well, don't you believe there's something special about it? Yes, because there's 51 more like it each year.
Amen.
I get excited about Sunday. Now, when I spell Sunday, I don't spell it S-U-N, I spell it S-O-N. It's Sunday, amen? And I want to help you today. I'm not bound by the calendar or holiday or tradition to preach anything. I will mention the resurrection, but the sermon is not necessarily about the resurrection. In John chapter 20, Jesus is risen from the dead. That's the chapter before where we were at. And I want you to notice something. Look at John 21, verse number 1. Look at the first three words. After these things. Now, everybody look at me for a second. If you start a sentence with a prepositional phrase that it's an adverb, after these things. You say, how do you know it's an adverb? Because it answers the question, which? After which things? That would be chapter 20. So chapter 20 and chapter 21 run together. Now let me say this. God didn't put the chapters and verses in, man did.
Amen.
I'm not saying that it's wrong the way we have it. I just want you to realize Just because there's a break there doesn't mean God put it there. And God says in chapter 20, he's talking about the resurrection. And in chapter 21, he says, after these things. Now, let me catch you up to where we were in chapter 20. That's where Jesus came into the upper room after the resurrection. And he meets everyone, look at me, he meets everyone in that upper room on that first Sunday evening. They had Sunday night church. The upper room, like our church, we started in a hotel and then went to a warehouse building, and then we were in the luxurious accommodations of Aiken Center. It would have been much like Aiken Center. They were in the upper room. It was had to be bigger because you couldn't get 120 up there. We put almost 100 up there, and it was almost immoral. It was bad. Now, wait a minute. I say all that to say this. They were having church Sunday night. Say, preacher, why do we have church Sunday night? Because Jesus did.
Amen.
Now watch this. It was there that Thomas was not there, and he said, I don't believe unless I put my hand in his side. 8 days later, look at verse 26, which is a full week, by the way. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Now watch this. I'm always amazed at how sinful Christians doubt God. We're all sinners. That means all of us doubt God. Jesus told them he was going to be crucified. He told them he would be dead and buried, and 3 days and three nights later, rise from the grave. Don't you think Thomas, after 8 days, had heard in town that Jesus had resurrected? But he said, I'm not going to believe till I can put my finger in the holes in his hands and put my hand into the where they thrust the spear into his side. And 8 days later, the next Sunday, Jesus comes back and says, Thomas, come here. Put your finger in my hand right there. Take your hand and stick it into my side, so that you quit doubting and start believing. And he said, my Lord and my God, I don't need to do it. Now watch this. Most Christians need a good dose of the Holy Spirit controlling them, and not their fear, not their feelings, and not their flesh. We live too much by our fear and our flesh and our feelings. It seems like no matter what God does, we somehow think the worst is going to happen to us. Everybody doing okay? We call it the Eeyore disease, amen? Hurricane weather. Just like on Winnie the Pooh. You see, we have this idea, God can do anything, but he's not going to do it for me. The disciples, they walked with, they worked with, they talked with, they ate with, they ministered with for 3.5 years with Jesus himself. And there they stand doubting him. They spent all that time together, and Peter cussed and swore. They denied him. They doubted him. They ran away in fear for their own neck. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
They were afraid, preacher. Okay, being afraid doesn't mean you have to change what you believe.
Amen.
Yes. I've been afraid many times in my life, but it doesn't change the word of God.
Amen.
I think I sang this song last week. I'm going to sing it again. I'd rather live by faith than try trusting in feelings. I'd rather trust in God than count on my own feelings. The word of God will never change. But feelings, they get rearranged. I'd rather live by faith than try trusting in feelings. Your feelings are going to let you down someday. Now, we seem to allow the fear for our flesh and our feelings to overpower our trust in God. Well, I just don't like man's system. We're not supposed to trust man's system. We're supposed to trust God.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Everybody doing okay? I feel like I got a coon in the tree. Why do we look at man's track record but not God's?
Yes, it's good.
Why do we look at what is going on around us and taking the track record of sinners and expecting God can do nothing about it? Have you ever looked at God's track record? John chapter 21, we read this just a second ago, the first three words. After these things. After what? After 8 days after the resurrection. After Jesus meeting with them in church at least two Sunday nights. In his new body. 8 days later, Peter says, "Fellas, I'm quitting the ministry. I'm going back to the fishing business." The Bible says that Peter and Thomas and Didymus and Nathanael, Zebedee and John and his brother went with him. Half the disciples quit the ministry to go back to the fishing business. They didn't go with their fishing poles, sit there and spit and whittle a while. They were out commercial fishing. And they go fishing all night. 8 days after the resurrection, having seen the resurrected Savior at least twice. Now, before we get too upset with the disciples, how often do we do the same thing? At the first sign of a problem or a trial or opposition, Christians want to complain and run from God. I'm going to say it. Look what happened during COVID. Churches shut down almost immediately. Not this one.
Amen.
Stayed open every week, every service. 2 weeks we preached from that doorway with speakers out there and AM radio. Had AM radio set up on each service for those of you that were elderly and didn't want to come in. But we still had church.
Amen.
Didn't stop us.
Amen.
Say, but preacher, the governor's mandate has no rule of law.
Amen.
It's a strong suggestion. Look it up. I called the Secretary of State's office just to find out how much jail time I was facing. He said, "Pastor, you won't, but if you do, have them call me." He said, "The governor didn't say this applied to churches. It doesn't. Governor can't touch churches." I said, "Good, governor's got a little bit of sense." I said. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Forgive me. Look how many people shut down for COVID. They changed what they believed over something, a virus they couldn't even see. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
They'd rather trust their health to people that were trying to con them than the Word of God. Now, I'm not saying COVID wasn't real. I'm not saying people didn't get sick. I haven't smelled or tasted food in 3.5 years. Trust me. Thank you, China. Stink bugs and no smell or taste. Here we come. Yeah. At least I don't have to smell Aaron. Now, these are not only negative and depressed people over Jesus. They were afraid of their own government. Well, if we tell them who we're for, they might kill us next. Can I tell you something? Every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I stood at this door greeting you as you came in, watching to see if the police were going to pull in and take me to jail. My wife said, "Are you sure, honey?" I said, "We might have to have Brother Juan open up the visitor center at the jail, but we're going to have church one way or another." I said, "I'm not shutting down. I'm not going to cowtail to it." Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Not only are they afraid of their government, they go back into their making money business instead of their serving God business. Now, you want to add insult to injury? Hey, Brother Steve. Here's a bunch of backslidden preachers that just quit the ministry and they fish all night and don't catch one thing. I bet you that was a real excited group in the morning, don't you? There's nothing more discouraging than fishing all night and not catching anything. But then you add being a backslidden Baptist preacher on top of that, and I imagine it was pretty bad. Imagine what Peter said at crucifixion wasn't maybe as bad as that morning. Now hang on. How can they be so discouraged, defeated? They have seen the resurrected Son of God.
Amen.
They have put their hands on him and held him, hugged him. He has hugged them back, and yet they still quit. How could they be floundering in self-pity so bad? Sorry, badly. These are the same men. Listen to this statement. Well, Scott, these are the same men who quit their businesses 3.5 years ago to follow him. Now they're quitting him to go back to business. They saw all the miracles. They heard every sermon preached. They loved him. They ate with him. They laughed with him. Just as the Hebrews in the wilderness in Egypt saw the 10 plagues, saw God open the Red Sea, crossed over on dry ground, God closed it up, destroyed the enemy, and yet they started complaining and doubting God. The disciples are no better than we are, though. At the first sign of difficulty, we let our flesh and bad attitude take over. "Well, I just don't like what the preacher said." Well, sometimes the preacher doesn't like what the preacher says, but it come out, amen? We're all sinners. How can we even begin to think that we're going to live life without problems? God never said we could. It must be us wanting to be our own God. And that mentality that causes us to think that because we're Christians that no problem should ever come. You're not going to find that anywhere in the Bible. Amen. The perfect, holy, sinless, righteous Son of God lived here and they killed him. Guess he had some problems, huh? If Jesus himself could not make it through problem free, what makes us think we can? Let me give you 3 thoughts today. Number one, just because you're saved doesn't mean you can expect to live heaven on earth. I think we have this mindset that once we get saved, all of our problems go away. Sweetheart, they're just starting. God never said, if you get saved, all your problems go away.
True.
Now, we'll tell you this. In eternity, they're all gone.
Amen.
Salvation takes care of eternity. But when you got saved, you didn't lose your sinful nature. You added a new nature But the old nature is still there.
That's right.
Yes. You see, you didn't get rid of the old. That's why this garbage out there of, well, you have to turn from all your sins and truly repent and not sin, or you didn't really get saved. Garbage is out there. That's work salvation, and that's out of hell. Repentance is you go from trusting your own good works and your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Amen.
Salvation is repentance. It's not turning from your sin. It's turning from what you're trusting in. Because none of us can turn from our sin because we are sinners. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Hang on. Salvation takes care of your eternity, but you still have to live here on earth. I got saved 52 years ago when I was 4.5 years old. Guess what? I've sinned a heap since then. No comments. Especially these two right there. You didn't have to think, man. That's why mine was faster than yours, amen? Getting saved... Bob, you're getting old. Trust me. Getting saved adds a spirit to you, and your spirit is reborn. But you don't lose your soul or your body.
Amen.
You see, we live amongst sinners. Even if we could not sin, everybody around us does.
Amen.
Guess what? The moment you think you've arrived and haven't sinned, you just did. Because God called you a liar. If we're all sinners, and by the way, listen to this statement. God didn't sin. Why do we then blame God when sinners and evil people do what sinners and evil people do? It wasn't God that did wrong. It was man. But why do we say, because man sinned, God can't fix it?
Right.
Well, you better bless God that he took care of your sin.
Amen.
We have no right to expect life here to be any better after we get saved than it was before we got saved.
Right.
Now, I will tell you this, it's a whole lot better getting saved. Because God then gives you the Holy Spirit and keeps you out of more trouble than you'd get yourself into. So to that degree, yes, it can be better, but God never said that it would be problem free. We live in the same world. You'll have a word of God and a Holy Spirit of God to help you make better choices. You'll have the word of God and a church and Christians around you to give you better influences. And you'll have the Bible and the Holy Spirit, but you're going to have the same sinful life. I'm still a sinner. No comments. So are you. Just because you get saved doesn't mean sin stops. It ought to slow down for you, but what's going on around you doesn't. So, just because someone gets saved does not mean they're going to go through life without problems. Number two, I'm about to shout. We need to consider God's track record versus ours. We need to consider God's track record versus ours. The disciples saw countless numbers of people saved and healed. Think of how many people in the Bible God didn't even name. He just said multitudes. Person after person after person after person after person. By the way, he didn't heal them just to heal them. He healed them to gather the crowd to preach the gospel to them so they might be saved.
Amen.
They saw Jesus raise people from the dead. Now, don't take this the wrong way. I'll preach your funeral, but the first person that moves in that casket, I'm gone. If there's no door, there'll be a hole in the wall somewhere. And I preached an awful lot of funerals, but first time one of them things starts sitting up, I'm out of there. Mm-hmm. I'm not afraid of it, but that ain't right. I'm getting out.
Amen.
But think about Jesus walking over and touching the hand of a teenage daughter that died and say, Jairus, come on back. Imagine him standing at the tomb of Lazarus saying, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden this guy comes wiggling out like a mummy. Now, can you imagine how mad Lazarus must have been at his sisters for asking Jesus to bring him back? He had been in heaven and had to come back to earth and die again. Dying once is bad, but dying again, I'm not sure about that. They saw countless lives transformed. Remember the maniac at Gadara? Guy cutting himself, living naked in the tombs and cutting himself and the blood spattering and filled with demons. And Jesus sat down and wanted him to himself. And he said, go home, tell thy friends and tell them what the Lord's done for you. They saw him for 8 days after the resurrection of himself. For 8 days they had seen the resurrected Savior. They saw him walk on water. They saw him tell the winds and the waves to die down, and they obeyed his voice. After seeing all of this and so much more for 3.5 years, it's over. Let's quit and let's go fishing. How'd you feel if next Sunday you walked in and Brother Anthony and I stood up and said, we don't like the direction America is going. Don't think we can do much, and we're going to quit and we're going to leave. See you later. Then why do you do it to God?
Yes, you better.
Question goes right back at you. By the way, I'm not quitting. Neither, see? I'll kill him. His wife needs the insurance money. now, wait a minute. I'm not giving up.
Hey.
Miss Kathy got me my shirt I preached about a couple weeks ago with the frog getting swallowed by the bird with his hand around. I wear that every night. Never give up. Love it. Let me ask you a question. What are they so afraid of? They weren't falsely accused. They weren't the ones scourged and beaten and nailed to a cross. They weren't the ones that were crucified. Why do we look at God through our eyes?
Amen.
How about we start looking at God through God's eyes, not our eyes?
Amen.
God's track record is far better than ours. I think we could trust God far more than we can trust ourselves. I think we could trust God far more than any man.
Amen.
Yesterday afternoon, we drove to Norfolk. Jeff was on a layover between California and going to Jordan to go defend our country. As every parent that's ever had to do this, it's not easy. But I didn't tell him I was afraid. I said, son, I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you. You're excited. Say, were you lying? I just didn't tell him all that I felt. I gave him a hug. I have to trust God. I have to trust his training. And hope I don't have to meet a plane with a casket and a flag on it. I get it. But even if I do, God's still good.
Amen.
He did what he felt he was to do. And he's obeying God. I'm good with it. Say, is that what you want? Nobody wants that. But that's what you face as a parent. I get it. I get it. Say, but preacher. No, not but preacher. He's going to be 29 years old in about a week and a half. He's a man. He makes his decisions. He answers for himself. But I'll support him every bit I can. Thank God for those who do that for us. Number three. Listen to this statement. This may be the most important point of the sermon. If you missed the whole thing, listen to this statement. Jesus went through everything he went through for them so they could succeed, not quit.
Amen.
Everything that Jesus did was so they could succeed, not quit.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Do you think Jesus started the church so that when he was gone, everybody quit? All the preachers left. He didn't go through it so they could quit.
Yes.
He went through it so they could succeed.
Amen.
I've had a lot of preachers in my life and as pastors. I got to work for my hero, Dr. Jack Hiles. 7,000 seat auditorium, we'd put 25, 30,000 people in church every Sunday of the week. Big days of 40,000 on the property. Baptize 15,000 people a year. I understand big churches. 22 years ago, this last February, 23 years ago, Brother Hiles went to heaven. I don't know how many times I heard him say, one of these days, this old voice is going to be silent. One of these days, that seat right there will be empty. Who's going to take my place? Well, I'm taking his place in a different spot. I heard what he said. Just because he died and went to heaven didn't mean God died.
Amen. Yes.
Just because somebody you know and love has passed away doesn't mean life stops.
Amen.
Stood right here 3 years ago last December and preached my mom's funeral, but life didn't stop. Does everybody get it? It's not going to stop just because somebody you know or love is hurting right now. They should have seen what Jesus did was for their success, not for the doom of Christianity. Jesus didn't go to Calvary for the destruction of Christianity. He did it for the building of Christianity. Why would Jesus start the church and train those men just to let them fail? Just because they couldn't do all that Jesus did doesn't mean they had to stop everything.
Amen.
Did you hear that? Can I tell you something? I don't expect you to do what I do. God didn't call you to be me, and you better be glad. But you can do something.
Amen.
Do what you can do. You've seen your saints that the old body doesn't work like it used to. There's still things you can do. You might not be able to go out and knock on doors door to door, but you can help put tracts together and bundle them up. Pray for us while we're out. There's still things you can do. You know, God may give extra ability to show how powerful he is. I've done a lot of things I didn't think I could do. I had a preacher call me in the last couple weeks. I hadn't talked to him in decades. You know what he said to me? He said, "You're the last person I ever thought would build a church." I said, "Well, you're the last person I wanted to talk to." I said, "It's not." I said, "I didn't build it. God did." I said, "It's not about me. It's about God." I said, "Why are you calling me? Because you can't get meetings." Shouldn't have done it, but I did. By the way, he's not coming here. Think about this. 3.5 years washed away in 8 days. just a little over a week, and they want to erase 3.5 years. Can I tell you something? Your child may mess up, but don't rub their life out.
Amen.
Let them come here and let's restore them. It may seem all is lost, but it's not. Friday evening, I preached down at the rescue mission. Be honest with you, I didn't really feel like preaching. I know that's hard for you to believe, but I was tired and a lot of things going on. Brother Bob, I walked in. They said, "We're all here, preacher." I started to walk in two more. I said, "They're not all here. They're still coming." I said, "I'm a Baptist. I know how to count. Wait a second here." I got up and I preached a sermon. I preached from behind this pulpit to the men at the mission. Preached a sermon a couple weeks ago called The Prisoner of Hope. I preached for 29 minutes to those mission men. Gave an invitation, and I watched 11 men raise their hand and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And Brother Scott, I walked down off that platform. I didn't have any more problems. The man sat right there, and he said, "Could I talk to you, Pastor?" And opened my Bible and encouraged him and showed him how to get through what he was going through. I didn't walk but 3 steps, and there's another man. He said, "Could you help me with my problem?" I must have stood there for 20 minutes, man after man after man. I got to the last one. I said, "Why did you men all?" I said, "Why did you?" He said, "Because you're the first preacher been in here in a long time that really cares." He said, "It's obvious." I helped him. Has family in Pittsburgh and family he knows that had a fire and a dad and 2 children were burned up and mom got out with one of the kids. Tears running down his face. I put my arm around him. I prayed with him. He said, "Pastor, that's why." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "When you talk, God hears you." He said, "You can feel it." I said, "I don't know about that, but I know who he is. I know he loves you, and I know I love you." I'll be honest with you. I got in my truck and started to weep. Felt pretty backslidden, thinking I really didn't want to go that night. But I obeyed. Look what Jesus did for their success. He endured the cross. He died. He was buried. And he resurrected for them. Here's the sermon. I'm done. Jesus has conquered death. He's eaten with them. He's given them another miracle with their nets full of fish. He promised them that he would leave them the Holy Spirit to work in them like he worked in him. After all those things, they still quit. But he gave them a chance to get back in.
Amen. Yes, sir.
You might quit, but it's time to re-enlist.
Amen.
Time to get back in.
Right.
Just like when Peter stepped out of the boat, started walking on water and began to sink, he had disobeyed God. Jesus said, "Get in the boat, stay in the boat, and go to the other side." He didn't say, "Get out and walk on the water." Oh, look at his faith. Yeah. And he got less than 3 feet from Jesus and started sinking. He said, "Lord, help." He wasn't supposed to be out of the boat. He said, "If thou be the Son of God, prove to me. If you really are who you say you are, you'll let me do this. Come on out, Peter. Open your big mouth. You're going to insert your foot. Everybody going to watch you sink." You see, too many times we want to do it our way. How about we just re-enlist and do it God's way?
Amen.
Maybe you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, look at me very carefully here. It's not a matter of joining Grace Baptist Church. It's not a matter of getting baptized. It's called being born again. Just because you were born in a hospital doesn't make you a doctor. Just because you go to a church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you keep your car in the garage and get in your car in the garage every day doesn't make you a car. Doesn't matter what building you go to. It's a matter of realizing we're all sinners. And because we're all sinners, there's a penalty on sin, which is death and hell. I can prove you're a sinner, you're going to die someday. So am I. But Jesus came and paid our sin debt for us. We're still going to die, but our spirit doesn't have to be dead. It could be born again. John chapter 3. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. Say, how do we do it? By trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
He paid it all. He was born of a virgin. By the way, the miracle of the virgin birth is not the virgin, it's the Father.
Amen.
Every woman could be a virgin. There's only one Father that could father a child through a virgin.
Amen.
When we start lifting the virgin over the Father, we have a problem. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and a righteous life. He was crucified, shed his blood, and died at Calvary. And 3 days later, and 3 days night by the or 3 nights later, by the way, there's no such thing as Good Friday. Crucified on Wednesday, resurrected on Sunday. You can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. Sorry, doesn't work.
Yes, sir.
Up from the grave he arose and conquered death, put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven of the true tabernacle which is in heaven, Revelation chapter 20 and 21. Now watch this. You get saved by what Jesus did, not what you do.
Amen.
You have to realize you're not righteous. And you have to submit your unrighteousness and your sinfulness to his righteousness and trust him as your Savior.
Amen.
It's that simple. Well, you preach easy believism. Well, show me hard believism.
Amen.
It's not in there. I did it as a 4.5-year-old child. I understood it. One-legged man preaching in a junior church. Lost his leg in Vietnam, during Vietnam. Got a wood peg leg. Preached on hell. Scared the bejeebers out of this little boy. Walked over to my Sunday school teacher and tugged on her dress and I said, I don't want to go to a place like that. She opened her Bible. Showed a little 4-year-old boy how to get saved.
Amen.
Sitting there in a little kindergartner style chair, got on my knees and said, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I trusted Christ as my Savior that day. 9 years later, surrendered to preach. Been preaching since I was 13. Been preaching for 43, almost 44 years. This August 1st will be 44 years. And I'm just as saved as Jesus is.
Amen.
Well, you did it as a child. Yeah. God said, except you do it like the least of one of these children. Children. It just takes faith in what God says. For by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
Maybe you've been saved and not baptized. Time to obey him. Maybe you need to join an old-fashioned, independent, King James-only Baptist church. Then let's just join up and let's get back in and do what God said.
Amen.
I don't know what you need, but I do know this. After these things. If the disciples could doubt him, how doubtful are we?
That's right.
Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Who'd say, preacher? Nobody looking. If I die today, I'm 100% sure I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. That's you. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Thank you for your honesty. I'm not going to come to you. I'll not call your name. I'll not embarrass you. Just like I just did not embarrass those. But would you let an old-fashioned preacher pray for you? Say, preacher, if I died today, I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know it. Would you raise your hand? All right. Anybody else? All right.